Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Watch Wimbledon tennis exclusively on the go with the Air Sport app.
You're welcome back. Now, our GAA here on News Talk is with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling Under 21 Championship, bringing customers closer to the action at bgerewards.ie. Saturday night was pretty epic in Semple Stadium. It was a win that was 58 years in the making. After extra time, Waterford beat Kilkenny. In a moment, we'll talk to Dan Shanahan. But first, here's WRFM's Kieran O'Connor and Shane Shiner Ahern calling the final few moments at Semple.
It's all over. Yay! 3 minutes of additional time have been played. And Morris takes the free. And Morris sends it over the bar. 2:22 to 4:21. Puck out, taken quickly by Murphy. We should hear the whistle soon. Moran wins it. That's the captain. Gets the ball away. Tommy Ryan, what an introduction he's made. From the sideline, he opens the shoulder. Has he the distance? Has he the direction? Yes, he has.
On Tommy
Ryan. What a score by Tommy Ryan.
On Tommy Ryan.
Lizzie Langton's will be hopping tonight for Tommy. Referee blows his whistle. It's all over. It's all over. 2:23. 1959 is a long time ago. Dev was president. Who was the Taoiseach? It was Lars Mass. We've had 9 presidents since, 10 Taoiseachs and 4 currency changes. But one thing has changed tonight. Waterford have finally beaten Kilkenny. Kilkenny have been so dominant, beaten Waterford on 9 occasions in the last 10. But tonight, finally, it's Waterford's day and no one will begrudge them. Final score, 4:23, 2:22. Derek's heroes have done the business.
They sure have. Dan Shanahan, hello.
Yo, how are you?
Bloody hell, what a game.
Great game, Joe. Big game, great result for Waterford.
What is it like to be part of something like that? I'm just jealous of you that you get to be part of a spectacle like that, because it just looks like magic.
You wouldn't be jealous of me, Joe, after the Cork defeat, to be honest with you.
No, but, that's
no,
true.
You wouldn't, but no, it's been a great couple of days, to be honest with you, as in for the supporters and the players. So it has, and the big Kenny was fantastic, like, you know. But again, I've always said, Joe, that Park now, after the victory, practically can you victory and hold on to the next dinner.
Yeah, well, look, do me a favour and park it for me in about 8 minutes time when I let you go on this phone call, because I'm going to take you back to it, if that's alright. John Milan wrote a piece today in the Irish Independent, and he talked about going to watch an A versus B match recently after the Cork defeat. He said he'd venture down and have a look and see where the lads were, and he said, I watched 60 minutes of an A versus B game and it was the best I'd seen from an A versus B game, and that includes when I was involved. And he said that gave him a real sense of hope about this Waterford team. Tell us about the couple of weeks between the Cork game and Saturday.
Yeah, it's been tough, to be honest with you, Joe, as in, you know what I mean, a lot of criticism came our way after the Cork defeat, but I think we got a nice draw on Offaly, with respect to Offaly, to get back on the horse. And I was actually looking at John at the game that day, and I actually texted him after the match to see what he thought, or after the training session, to see his opinion on our lads. And he said, what you said there, like, he couldn't get over the intensity of the game, or A versus B, like, you know. But in our eyes, to be honest with you, there's no way A versus B. 43 lads fighting for positions, like, you know, and that's the way it has to be.
Of all the criticism after the Cork game, was there any of it that you thought was fair, even directed at the management?
I suppose, Joe, to be honest, as a player, I took the good or the bad, and as a selector or coach, whatever, they would say the good or the bad too, like, you know. As in, when we have good days, we celebrate, when we have bad days, we commiserate, like, you know. So it's one of those days, things didn't work out in the Cork game. For us, we didn't stick to our game plan, to be honest with you, like, you know. And, but as I said, we passed that, Joe. We got on to the off league game now after beating Kilkenny. Now we've worked for next, like, you know. And I can to you, Joe, that maybe Fitzgerald is rubbing his hands low, knowing that they're playing Waterford, like, you know. He sees a great opportunity to beat Waterford.
Derek McGrath was talking about the pressure on you guys, on the management team, in the build-up to this Kilkenny game, Dan. And he said, you go to 2 league finals, you go to 2 Munster finals, you don't turn up for last year's Munster final, you go to 2 epic All-Ireland semi-finals last year. The pressure was building on us, on all of us, the management and the players, to go to the next step. You must have felt that. Did it feel like a make-or-break game for the management team in some ways? I don't want to overstate things, but in some ways, you know, another year potentially gone if you lost to Kilkenny, and it's a long, long time until next season. Were you thinking like that at all, Dan?
Personally, I wasn't, Joe, for being honest with you. Like, you know,
right.
I take every game as it comes. I know, as I said, like, you know, Cork defeat hurt us, but we regrouped straight away. We got on Offaly and beat Offaly with a bit of spirit and balance, which, you know, no one going into Kilkenny. We know Kilkenny really built themselves up against them, but they played well.
Yeah.
Limerick shot 13 wide in the first half, like, you know. So well, you try to beat them on the front of the Joe, and we look enough to get Kilkenny's last, like, you know. And to be honest with you, like, you know, it's just when we go training, we train hard for each other, like, you know, and everyone that goes up the field there works hard for each other, plays hard for each other, and we showed that against Kilkenny, I thought.
Yeah. That said, they're a difficult team to kill off. And
yeah.
8 points up with 10 minutes to go. I actually don't quite remember what ye did in that 10 minutes, because part of me is just so impressed by Kilkenny, who weren't, you know, it was not vintage Kilkenny, and somehow they found a way to drag you back and drag those 8 points back. Did you stop playing, or what was your feeling in that 10 minutes when they pulled you back?
That was a joy. I think every team gets their fill in the game. Like, you know, when I think Kilkenny got in the last 10 minutes. But it did. Morris had a great chance to win the game with a free. It didn't work out for him, like, you know. But to be 8 points up and to draw the game, like, it's a bit of a worry for us. That's something to talk about tomorrow night in training and sort out for the next day, please God.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always something you can work on, and that's what we have to work on for the next 2 weeks.
Derek was saying that Porrig, man, he couldn't walk, but you were even toying with the idea of bringing him back on for the actual free for the last minute of the game, and then, you know, Morris stood up and gave it a go. And so, look, as you gathered the team and get them ready for extra time, looking in from the outside, I thought, well, geez, Kilkenny have all the momentum. I know you've younger legs, but I was worried that the disappointment of coughing up that 8 point lead would really affect your lads. It didn't seem to. Was it something you tried to address in the few minutes you had with them, or tell us about those few minutes?
Not really, to be honest with you. Of course, being a selector, with the boys, we're disappointed we lost the lead, but if we win the half, it takes time.
Yeah.
And I looked around the rest of the lads, they looked focused and ready for the battle, but the Joe, to be honest with you, they were really focused.
Right.
This was something that we knew could happen, as in the draw.
Yeah.
And not that we planned this, but the lads were very focused. The fitness levels were unbelievable. They finished stronger, like, any would respect.
Yeah.
On the fitness wise, and really killed off the game an extra time. Jamie Barron came on and had 1-2 to start the extra time, and really
yeah.
It really set us up, to be honest with you.
Did you have a word with Morris? Say, don't worry about the free? Did you feel you needed to?
I don't think I did. I think everyone in the rest of them did. To be honest with you, that's what we're about, Joe. As in, everyone, the players were there. Encouraging. You know, every free take on is a free, Joe. And in the short time that Morris was on the field, to get a free like that, was very mentally tough on him. But he came out in the second half, the first half and the second half, extra time, proved how good he can be.
These are now three great games you've had with Kilkenny in Championship in the last 2 years. God, I'd love to see another one. I think everyone would. There's something about the chemistry out there, and that's both on the pitch and on the sideline. And Cody and his Kilkenny team know how to work a sideline. Is that something you were conscious of, that you had to be in their faces on the sideline as well? Is that something you talked about, Dan?
I think we taught Joe to answer to win every battle, whether it's on the field or off the field. We 50 fellas involved, Joe, whether it's a waterman. And to try to win every battle, that was our aim. Like, you know, it's not the first thing is buying Cody, who I have the utmost respect for, came into our dressing room after the match and spoke unbelievably. We could hear a pin drop, Joe, in our dressing room, the way he spoke to us. He came in last year and spoke after our defeat. But he came in this year and spoke how the knowledge of the man is unbelievable, Joe. And the respect I had for him, he's gone up all year, because he came in and told us what we had to do maybe to win Northern Ireland. You know, and the words and the praise he had for his own players to come back down from 8 points down. Support he showed for his own lads was unbelievable. I'm sure, and something I never forget, that speech last Saturday.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. What was his core message? I appreciate some of it's private and it's between him and the players, but what was his core message to your lads?
Core message: job isn't done, Joe. Simple as that, like, you know.
Yeah.
Beating Kilkenny in a qualifier. So we have us in on the corner final where we haven't. What I mean, so you know, I'm saying to Joe, we have nothing won. There's no trophy on the board.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Like, you know, to win the All-Ireland, they must go all the way to September, and you really, really stress that to us. Like, you know, we've beaten Kilkenny, we deserved our victory, so we did. And Brian said, and he was totally right in that.
Where were you on the sideline when Morris goes through and finishes that goal so brilliantly and throws his hands up in the air and runs to the stand? In a way, by the way, very reminiscent of his brother. In fact, I don't know if you've seen on social media, you did something very, very similar on the exact day a number of years ago. Someone spotted it and you both held up the crest of the jersey. It's like, it's eerie how similar the celebration is. If you haven't seen it, have a look at it on Twitter. But where were you on Saturday? Can you remember your thoughts or your feelings or like what it meant for you and for Morris and for everyone when that happened?
I think it was brilliant for us all, Joe, to be honest with you, but it was brilliant for the team. I think that goal really put the cap between ourselves and Kilkenny, like, you know, as in the importance of the goal, the timing of the goal.
Mm.
But for Morris himself, mentally, being left out of the first 15 or maybe was hurting, but it's the only way you can apply to all that stuff. So is, I think, go and do your best and you get the goal and just turn around and I jumped short, you're damn right, I jumped very highly, to be honest with you. Like, you know, I looked up to the waffle cloud in Thurles, and just for Morris himself and just for everyone involved, to be honest with you, to beat Kilkenny, we haven't beaten since 1959.
Of course, yeah.
We'll park and out, as I said to you, but
yeah.
Just for himself and for everyone, because the effort the lads have put in over the last 4 years is unbelievable. You know, so, as I said,
yeah.
Just let this, we've not won, like, you know, we're in the next round quarter final of the.
No, I hear you. It's one to maybe enjoy at the end of the year and look back on, but not
120%.
Not until
after September, please God.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Is it difficult for you when, you know, there's talk of leaving Morris out of the starting 15, and obviously there's the connection with them, but then you've got to do your job? Do you try and stay out of that discussion, or do you just have to give your honest opinion, or how do you handle that chat?
It's tough, Joe, to be honest with you, but you handle it with just give my opinion and our opinions and see how it goes after that. Like, you know, if Morrison is saying, well, or any player is saying, well, Joe, not only Morrison, he will be discussed with every player is discussed in our training sessions and for selection, even for that. From 23 to 26, I must stress, is the hardest thing we have to do as management.
Sure.
If you leave out lads that have trained all year and can't get maybe come onto the field, if you know what I'm saying to Joe, but it's very hard. But again, it's not there. Morris Shanahan show, it's the Waterford show, if you know what I'm saying, as in we all do this for to win games, though, and individuals don't win games, our teams win games, and you have to be past that to win games.
Yeah. Can I put something to you, because I'm delighted that, you know, you've given up your time and I won't keep you too much longer, but it's great that you're here to maybe give an answer to this, or just explain it maybe more so than give an answer. So I was just reading, I don't know if you read papers or if you look at anything, so say Henry Shefflin in his piece in the Sunday Times yesterday praised what she did hugely, and I should emphasise that this was not a hatchet job in Waterford, but he did just send one note of caution, and he said there were a lot of things I didn't like about Waterford yesterday evening. They were negative, they were too tactical with one player mostly inside the 45. It's not a style of hurling I like to see. I'm also looking at the bigger picture here, though. Waterford won't win the All-Ireland playing that way. Can you give us your take, Dan, on is that a fair summation of how Waterford are playing? Because, you know, you score four goals, admittedly in extra time, but you score four goals. Is he right when he says it's mostly one player in the 45? It looks like that on TV, or what's the thinking?
Who am I sure to argue with Henry Shefflin, who has 9 or 10 All-Ireland medals? So he's entitled to his opinion, Joe.
Sure.
And I respect that. Like, you know, I respect all opinions from all ex-players and ex-greats, but we go out there, we go out there with game plans like every team does. Like, you know, there was no talk about Walter Welch being centre-back for Kilkenny last week against Limerick at some stage in the game.
Mm.
So, you know what I'm saying? So every team is different, and what we do inside with us, like, you know, with against off-field 8-backs, against all 5 forwards, like, you know, so
yeah.
Every team is different. I guarantee against Wexford, it's going to be different again with Davy Fitz and the knowledge of the game he has is going to be very different. He probably have 9 backs back there, if you know what I'm saying to Joe, but
yeah.
Every manager is different. You go out and try and win the game, so. And what Henry's saying, like, you know, his opinion, like, you know, and I totally respect that, but we just go on to train tomorrow night, we'll do what we have to do, get the lads back focused, and please God, get them ready for the Wexford game.
Yeah, the tactical decisions you're going to have to make out of that Wexford game are going to be.
Of course, every team is different, though, as in Wexford are different, so Kilkenny are different to Limerick, you know what I'm saying, to Cork are different to everyone else as well at the moment, like, you know, they're creating space for their forwards, like, you know, so they're, don't talk about other teams, but.
Yeah.
Amazing, we were for winning a lot of people. I think they were the sleeper role. Yep, he scored 420 something, as you said, like, you know. So it's all about winning, Joe, and we won last weekend.
If the sideline battle with Cody was interesting, the sideline battle with Shanahan, McGrath, and Fitzgerald, Davy, down on that sideline, that's going to be boxed. There should be a manager cam all on its own for that one. That's going to be fun. Have you stayed in touch with Davey over the years, Dan? Or
no, I haven't. If I've been honest, I haven't. Right. Joe, so I haven't. Do I respect him? Of course, I do.
Yeah,
he's won an All Ireland as a player. He's won an All Ireland as a coach. He's won numerous Fitzgibbon Cup medals with LIT as well. Like, you know, so of course I do respect him.
Yeah,
but the 75 or 78 minutes we play for the hour, all I worry about is our lads, Joe. I can't worry about Davey Fitz, like what he does in the line is up to himself. What I do in the line, or Derek does in the line, is up to us. You know, so
yeah.
I said, do I respect him? Of course I do, but I want to beat him on the day, and I'm right, I will.
Well, damn right he wants to beat you too. There could be a few chest bumps. Chest bumps that day, maybe. Listen, thanks so much for your time. Keep wearing that hat.
And off here. Off here.
Yeah.
Derek Graves on the pant by the hat. It's very much reasonable.
Good man. Thanks a million, Dan. Cheers.
Oh, thanks. My pleasure. Thanks very much, Joe.
Off the Ball. Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
You're welcome, Max. So Tommy Dunn joins us to look back on the weekend. We've already talked to Dan Shanahan about Waterford 4-23, Kilkenny 2-22. There was also Cork, Munster champions, 125, Declares 120, and Tipperary were 22-point winners over Dublin, 6-26 to 119, Dublin's worst loss in the championship since 2005. What it all means is we head to the weekend of July 22nd and 23rd in Porky Cueve with Clare against Tipperary, and then as we discussed with Dan Shanahan, Waterford will play Wexford on the Sunday. Tommy, we might start with Kilkenny Waterford, go in chronological order. So 4-23 to Kilkenny's 2-22. Here's a sense, by the way, what Brian Cody thought about things. He spoke to Oisin Langan afterwards.
Extra time was the difference in the end. What was the difference between the two teams, do you think? What did they do better that perhaps you didn't quite do?
Well, as you said, extra time was the difference. But the last team, when we had that momentum towards the end of normal time, definitely the last thing we needed was a break. And the big thing, and what they needed more than us was a break for the game to break and for them to regroup. Our lads were really driving on that stage. But that's the game. Like, I mean, the final whistle came and they went to extra time and they regrouped well. And I suppose the momentum that they were able to rediscover, that kind of momentum to show it. And there was some very, very good hurling, obviously. They were more consistent in their play over the 90 minutes than we were. But the resilience that we showed and the spirit that we showed and the determination that we showed are the hallmarks that every team has to have.
You're, I guess, a team in transition, and even the guys who are experienced, like the likes of Richie Hogan and Michael Fennelly, probably weren't 100%, probably playing with injuries.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to even discuss injuries because, I mean, it doesn't come into it, because if you start talking about injuries, it's like as if we have a reason for losing. The only reason you ever have for losing is because the other team is better than you. I mean, we have 15 players starting, they had 15 players starting. So it's not a question of who we might have had or who we didn't have. And like, Waterford played Kilkenny and it was our best team on the field that we had, and they beat us and that's it. And there are no sort of complaints or excuses or if we had this or if we had that at all.
Do you think they'll benefit from this year? I know it's a disappointing year in results sense, but there's a lot of inexperience out there, and maybe, you know, they learn how to become better decision makers, learn what championship is about, etc.
Well, I think they know an awful lot already. I think they proved tonight how resilient they are, how competitive they are, how determined they are, and also how skillful they are. And I think they showed an awful lot tonight, I suppose. Our team has been, I suppose, questioned over the year by just about everybody, really, I suppose, and that's their prerogative. But I think our team tonight was as competitive as is humanly possible to be.
Tommy, Dennis Walsh in the Sunday Times had a good line where he said, in defeat, Kilkenny honoured their manager. And it felt that way. They died with their boots on to come back from 5 points down at half time. And then, I mean, it's just, they were like a parody of themselves in that last 10 minutes when they, you know, they just were not playing well and not the team that they've been. And they somehow hauled Waterford back those 8 points in 10 minutes.
Yeah, like, I think Dennis summed it up brilliantly with that, and I think even if you listen to Brian Cody carefully there, you can really feel the pride he has in his players. I think I'm sure he's well aware that they don't have the caliber of players that they had a couple of years ago, but, you know, their spirit and competitiveness and resilience is never in question, and they had no right to win. I was at the match. I was very close to the action on Saturday evening, and Waterford in normal time, for a majority of normal time, played the better hurling than Kilkenny. They had their measure in most of the key aspects, and yet Waterford were hanging on by their fingertips, Joe. I mean, if that game had to go another minute or two, Kilkenny were going to win it, in my opinion. Waterford were hanging on by an absolute thread, and to Waterford's immense credit, they regrouped brilliantly when they got the break and were the better outfit again in extra time. But Kilkenny's spirit is just remarkable, and it's a great credit due to Brian Cody. They were phenomenal, even though we know they're not the force that they were.
So you say, Tommy, Waterford outplayed Kilkenny in most aspects, most of the key aspects of the game. What were they?
Well, Kilkenny only scored 1 point from play in the opening 30 minutes, Joe. You know what I mean? And Kilkenny's hallmark up to very recently is that they've had just an incredible array of ball winners in their forward line, and their ability to score goals when they were needed was always immense. Now they're in a situation where Richie Hogan clearly isn't playing with the form that he displayed 12 months ago and earlier, possibly because of injury. TJ and Colin Fennelly effectively carry them over the line against Wexford, and the backup that, you know, once was there just doesn't seem to be there, and that is the main, I think that's their main issue at the minute. They patched up their backline to some degree, even though I don't think it was ever going to work out in the long run, but they patched it up sufficiently for them to be competitive, but they're just not able to get the scores that they used to be. They're just not able to handle the sweeper style thing, in my opinion, and I think Waterford carried that out really, really well, with Tadhg de Bourcaigh playing in a very deep role, and he hoovered up a huge amount of ball. And the other key feature always of Kilkenny's play was their incredible work rate and tackling, and I think that's something that sometimes is forgotten about. And like, they've, you know, Kilkenny over the years would have come across many different types of covering defenders and sweepers and you name it, and they'd always find a way to break them down just by their immense work rate and tackling. So that probably has dropped off a bit as well, and you still need very good players to do that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not for a moment here, by the way, suggesting that Kilkenny are not every bit as tactical as every other team, but it's very interesting you said there you're not so sure they can handle the sweeper in the game. So you might expand upon that. Is that a chink in their managerial armoury, do you suspect?
No, I don't think you could call it that. But it's just, I mean, like, Kilkenny have a very robust, a very direct style. And let's face it, if you're playing against an extra defender, it's not easy. That's why it's there. It's not easy to break down anyway. The only way you can break it down is by having immensely good use of the ball in terms of the distribution. And when the distribution is good, having players of the sufficient quality that can actually win that ball in the first place. So, you know, so if you're able to win the first ball that goes down into the forward line in a one-on-one scenario, then, you know, straight away the covering defender can't get to the breaking ball because the attacking player has the ball in his hand in the first place. And Kilkenny, had out of their forward lines previously, they probably had four or five of the six forwards that were brilliant under high balls, brilliant under in ruck situations, and with just the immense physical strength to actually win it. Plus, you know, Kilkenny are not dominating around the field as they once did. Their backline has been restructured, as we've spoken about. You know, I'm of the opinion that Pádraig Walsh is an absolutely outstanding wing back, and I think it weakened Kilkenny in a major way by having to take him into the full backline, to be honest with you. But most of the contenders over the years in terms of dominating championship winning teams, their foundation is generally in their half back line and midfield, and Kilkenny have been a little bit all over the place in terms of that kind of a foundation.
I'm glad you're at the stadium, because it can be hard from television to sometimes work out exactly what Waterford are doing. Henry Shefflin made a point in the Sunday Times. I put it to Dan Shanahan, and clearly he's not going to develop too much on national radio what the Waterford tactics are. So Henry said, this may seem like sour grapes, it's certainly not, and he says, there were lots of things I didn't like about Waterford yesterday evening. They were negative. They were too tactical. One player mostly inside the 45. It's not a style of hurling I like to see. But I'm also looking at the bigger picture here. Waterford won't win the All-Ireland playing that way. Can you tell us how they were playing and if it's suitable?
Waterford had to, you have to keep it in context. Waterford absolutely had to win this game by hell or high water, Joe. So, like, it can't have been a surprise to anyone, and I'm sure Henry wasn't surprised either, that Tadhg de Bourcaigh was playing as an extra defender. And that was the key part in the whole thing. Waterford's style, as far as I can see, and look, I'm only watching the same as everybody else. Sure. I could be 150 miles wrong, but Tadhg de Bourcaigh is an essential part of it. And Jamie Bowen is one of the other key components in how Waterford play. Jamie Bowen, I think, almost, I won't say single-handedly, but I don't think they would have won that game on Saturday evening without Jamie Bowen. He's a link player, he's a guy that orchestrates things. He's on the end of things. He's scoring crucial scores. So he's the link that actually turns them from defence into attack quite effectively. And then you have Austin Gleeson, where they can go to with puck outs, where they need to actually make key things happen in the game in terms of the physicality stakes. And, you know, they just have a good running style where they, when Ty de Burka gets on the ball, he can link a short ball to the middle of the field, and then someone else is coming off the shoulder to set something else up. Mm. And then they obviously have a couple of impact players that are crucial to come in. Tommy Ryan was a big influence in the game, and Morris is a huge influence. But, I'm not sure that they can actually get over the line in terms of winning the championship. I don't think Waterford will play the rest of the season like that, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because I'm looking at it just on Saturday night. The amount of effort that Barron and Austin Gleeson and these guys are putting in the 70 minutes is absolutely phenomenal. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And if one or two of those guys go down or have to go off with injury, the effort level is just crazy. It's just crazy. And I think, I don't think they'll play the rest of the year like that. I think they'll have to change it slightly as they go forward. And I think they'll probably learn a few lessons from last year in terms of doing that.
Okay. Meanwhile, Cork are Munster champions. So just a remarkable tournament. Their trajectory continues. Are you more impressed again? I haven't seen Cork for a third time.
Oh, Cork were fantastic. Joe, Cork were fantastic. Like, it's, I've underestimated them probably a little bit like most other people, but they're just getting better and better. You know, they were just absolutely outstanding. They were absolutely outstanding. And
what's so good, Tommy?
What I love about them, Joe, is their pace, right? Their speed and their skill levels are just phenomenal. Like, I was on Mark Coleman's wing in the first half.
Yeah.
My wife Deirdre was sitting beside me, and I was saying, I was like, I think she thought I was after falling in love with this fella. Like, I was just oohing and aahing about him. His footwork, his turns, his ability to pop out of trouble and execute passes. It's just absolutely of the highest order. Like, it's just absolutely of the highest order. They're just an absolute joy to watch. And they have a very simple way of playing the game. They're able to create space. Like, we've been over this before. They're able to create space inside. Their distribution and ball striking is phenomenal.
Mm.
How many times can you remember a Cork player mishitting the ball or misplacing a pass or having a poor touch?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're in single figures.
So their performance is very much the pick of the bunch from the weekend.
Ah, it was. It was class. It was just absolutely class. And what was brilliant about it was, in fairness to Clare, they asked the hard questions. Clare didn't play well, in my opinion, at all. But in fairness, they hung in there and they got a goal and 2 points in the second half to really take Cork down the stretch. But Cork just upped the ante again, and they came back with a couple of scores under pressure that were just out of this world. I just love their skill level. And, you know, the other thing that I like about them, the way hurling has evolved over the last few years, I was of the opinion that, you know, the chances of an 18 or a 19-year-old guy just coming into an inter-county senior setup without being through a 4 or 5 years of a strength and conditioning program, you know, in other words, he might have had to be on the panel for 3 or 4 years to get ingrained into the training program vis-a-vis the physical and strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
But what's so refreshing and beautiful to see is that some of these guys, you know, they don't look to have a huge amount of physical work done. I'm sure they have in some ways, but they're just so natural-looking players. They're, you know, and their skill level is to the fore all the time. Their speed of execution, their footwork, and their just ability to make the right choices and execute them under pressure. That's what hurling at this level is all about, really, for me.
Yeah, I saw you make the point on your piece in the 42 that the Cork half forward line pulled out and left lots of space for the Cork full forward line.
Yeah.
And, well, Clare did the same thing in some ways, but then ignored Shanahan and Shane O'Donnell for a huge sway to this game. And, like, there's a period in the second half where Clare fans will have watched lots of pot shots from Kelly or Podge or Galvin from way out the field. And I presume they were feeling very much like O'Donnell and Shanahan inside, which was deeply frustrated. Like, that was very hard to understand why that was happening. Like, could that have been part of the game plan?
I'd say it was. I'd say that's strategic. I'd say that's you know, the way they wanted to play. I can't imagine that there was any other reason for it. And look, the problem with that sort of a strategy is that to be that accurate from that distance, over that distance, for, you know, for over 8 or 9 or 10 chances in the game is phenomenally difficult.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like they're hitting balls from 75, 80 yards. You know, like that's it, you know, and they're looking yesterday with the chances, they had 15 wides. I'd say half of them were from outside 55, heading up towards 60 yards. Mm. And that's like, even to score them is, you know, it would be a phenomenal performance to do that, to take that many chances. And I'll be honest with you, if I was playing in the inside forward line, I wouldn't be one bit happy. I'd be chawing someone badly for driving balls in over my head wide. You know what I mean? What's the full forward line inside for?
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to do that, why would you play three inside anyway? What's the point? Bring someone else to the middle of the field. Bring someone else to the half forward line.
Especially when they engineer a penalty when a decent ball did go in.
Well, this is the thing that I can't understand. And from my memory, I think they were a lot more direct against Limerick and caused Limerick plenty of problems in their inside full back line. And Shanahan is a fair handful now, and so is Shane O'Donnell and Conor McGrath. And, like, you know, it's not necessary. Hurling isn't all about strategy. It's not all about having a game plan that you have to execute. Clare's goal came off a sideline ball that John Conlon just, through sheer graft and hard work, got in his hand, beat two or three Cork players and ran straight at the Cork backs, went past them, drew the tackles, and popped out a pass.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't have to spend hours planning or practicing that.
No.
They got a penalty from a ball that went directly into the edge of the square, right? A bit of a proper contest under the high ball. And Aaron Shanahan looked dangerous enough to me in the air. Any high ball that went in, he was on the verge of winning it. And he won that one. It spilled. And O'Donnell, in fairness to him, with a delightful pickup, got through and got a penalty.
Mm.
And it was just a pity that we didn't see a lot more of that, because, you know, those guys are. I just think they should trust them a bit more and hit, you know, put the bloody ball to the edge of the square and give them a chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I was really disappointed I didn't see more of that, because I was expecting it. I know Clare have a way of playing over the last few years, and they've won their under 21 in All-Irelands and that sort of thing. But I was surprised that they didn't change it a little bit, considering their wide count was rising all the time yesterday.
One last point I have to ask you about, because it was so crucial to the game, and clock's slightly against us here. But so, you know, Damien Cahalan is getting a lot of short puck outs, because in one respect, Clare have done a brilliant job on trying to stop Anthony Nash. What they didn't seem to bank on was the delivery coming from Cahalan and others in the Cork half back line or midfield, which was excellent as well. And so it was almost like, geez, well, how do we stop the Cork puck out being effective here?
Well, they could have done that, but like they stopped, for the most part, they stopped the Cork long puck out, even though Nash hit a crucial puck out to Luke Mead that set up the Cadogan goal.
Yeah.
It came from a long Nash puck out. But they obviously made a decision that they wanted the ball to go to Cahalan or some member of the Cork inside full back line. But I think what Clare didn't anticipate was that this ball was actually going to reach its target. I think Clare didn't do well on that aspect of it. Galvin was sitting back fairly deep, not all of the time, but most of the time.
Mm.
And I'm not sure that they think the Cork delivery from Cahalan could be that good, or they possibly thought that even if it was getting over their half back line, that we'd cut it out. But they didn't cut out any of it, and it hurt them really badly.
There you go. That was Tommy Dunn speaking to us on Monday Nights Off the Ball. It's Joe here, and we are now into podcast bonus territory here. Basically, our thinking is that over the weekend, we have reporters at all the grounds, and because of the restraints, obviously, of radio, we're not able to play you all the reaction we get from managers and players. So we just figured for the rest of the season, we would tack on the management and players' reactions at the end of games to our podcasts. And if it's your bag and you want to hear what the various managers and players were saying, then great, here it all comes. And if it's not your bag and you just want the analysis that we put out in the radio, then you've just had it. So we've heard from Tommy Dunn and we've heard from Dan Shannon, so we'll stick with Waterford Kilkenny for the moment. Oisin Langan was there, and you are going to hear in this order the full reaction from Oisin's conversation with Brian Cody. Then we'll have the Waterford manager, Derek McGrath, and then we'll have Waterford cornerback, Noel Connors, who was in very interesting form. So here comes Cody, McGrath and Connors.
Brian Cody, I guess a hard game to analyse so soon after, but is it fair to say that the better team won on the night?
I think that's fair enough to say that, yeah. The most consistent team over the whatever length of time the game went on for, 90 minutes, whatever it was. They dominated for longer periods of the game than we did. But what our lads put into the comeback in normal time was just phenomenal, really. You know, I mean, everybody just was waiting for the final whistle to blow. The game was over. Waterford had it won, but our lads just refused to lay down, and just tremendous character, tremendous spirit, and everything that team, that's good about the team they showed you tonight, and just terrific respect for the way they did it.
Extra time was the difference in the end. What was the difference between the two teams, do you think? What did they do better that perhaps you didn't quite do?
Well, I say you said extra time was the difference, but the last thing, when we had that momentum towards the end of normal time, definitely the last thing we needed was a break, and the big thing, and what they needed more than else was a break for the game to break, and for them to regroup. Our lads were really driving on that stage, but that's the game. Like, I mean, the final whistle came and went to extra time, and they regrouped well, and I suppose the momentum that they were able to rediscover, that kind of momentum they showed, and there was some very, very good hurling. Obviously, they were more consistent in their play over the 90 minutes than we were, but the resilience that we showed and the spirit that we showed and the determination that we showed are the hallmarks of every team has to have.
You're, I guess, a team in transition, and even the guys who are experienced, like the likes of Richie Hogan and Michael Fennelly, probably weren't 100%, probably playing with injuries.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to even discuss injuries, because, I mean, it doesn't come into it, because if you start talking about injuries, it's like as if we have a reason for losing. The only reason you ever have for losing is because the other team is better than you. I mean, we have 15 players starting, they had 15 players starting. So it's not a question of who we might have had or who we didn't have. And there's a Waterford played Kilkenny, and it was our best team on the field that we had, and they beat us, and that's it. And there are no sort of complaints or excuses, or if we had this or if we had that at all.
Do you think they'll benefit from this year? I know it's a disappointing year in results sense, but there's a lot of inexperience out there, and maybe, you know, they learn how to become better decision makers, learn what championship is about, etc.
I think they know an awful lot already. I think they proved tonight how resilient they are, how competitive they are, how determined they are, and also how skillful they are. And I think they showed an awful lot tonight, I suppose. Our team has been, I suppose, questioned over the year by just about everybody, really, I suppose, and that's their prerogative. I think our team tonight was as competitive as is humanly possible to be, and came within a whisker, obviously, of winning the game.
Derek, I just put it to Brian Cody that the better team won on the night, and he agreed. What a performance from Waterford.
Yeah, I think I won't say there's no argument, but certainly I think 8 points up with, I know, 10 or 11 minutes to go, and obviously conceded the lead. Big, huge momentum shift in terms of Kilkenny's favour, and to be able to reapply ourselves, readjust ourselves into extra time, very pleasing, I have to say.
What happened in that 8 minutes, and how much will you learn from that? How much will you take from that going forward?
I think a couple of things. I think obviously people have pointed to the fact that we retreated the field, we chased the line, we didn't learn anything from last year's semi-final when we were 6 points up as well, but I think it's just a momentum shift in game as much as anything else, where Kilkenny are powering on, and you know, you just bring them on, you invite them on, but that's the way we'd been all night. We were hoping to counter all night, and in actual fact, by bringing them on, you sometimes you actually open up the space on the other side. I think that's what actually materialised for us on several occasions. So the balance between bringing them on you and countering just kind of, I suppose, it fell apart there somewhere, you know.
Yeah, and they got a goal in that period, but did we see that plan, that counter-attack plan for Jamie's goal?
I think we did, yeah. I think we found space because Kilkenny were kind of, I suppose, they were pushing up on us, if you like, and for me, that was kind of crucial. If we could get our midfielders bombing on when we were only playing with however four many forwards we're playing, if we could give Kevin and Jamie the license to kind of go from deep, albeit, as I said, not a football tactic, but it's certainly something that you know, I don't think we's, you know, we kind of opened them up doing that, if you like, and very pleasing in that regard, actually, you know.
The difference between this and the Cork performance, you looked absolutely certain as to what you were doing out there, yeah, for most of the game tonight, yeah, whereas in Cork there was a bit of confusion.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. The confusion, I suppose, came from maybe management side, came from lack of implementation of the actual plan that we talked about, but we actually thought there was certainty in the plan heading into the Cork game. So I think it was a couple of factors, Cork being very good, negating our plan, and secondly, us just kind of reverting to old type in terms of individualism, etc. So good to have the collective approach back tonight, you know.
And does that improve when you've got a bit of momentum? That's two games in 2 weeks, two wins, and you've another one in 2 weeks.
Well, that'll be the hope. But you know, the reality is we're only where we were this time last year. Haven't been meeting by Tipperary in the Munster final. Haven't been absolutely demolished. So that's where we are. And you know, you look back at the end of the year. If you've beaten Kilkenny in a round two qualifier and you've gone out in a quarter final, you'll be disappointed. If I'm perfectly honest, but it's something to look forward to. You know, I think the weight of history was heavy on our heads, on all our shoulders. There was a certain amount of pressure on us in terms of. Not the 59 years or the 58 years, but just in terms of our own performance. We just felt laboured against Cork and we just wanted to get some sort of sprightly performance, and I think we got that, you know.
And look, I know that there's probably an attitude of, look, you're only back to where you were, or you're not even where you were because you were in the semi-final last year, but how big a deal is it to beat Kilkenny in the championship? Because it was something talked about nearly every year since 1959. It was something that people said, oh God, this is such a big thing, weighing water it down. So how big a deal is that?
Yeah, I think psychologically, I think retrospectively at the end of the year, you could point to it as being a fillip, if you like, but I'm not sure now at the moment, if I'm perfectly honest. I think it's big for the lads and big for the people of Waterford, but it won't be that big in 2 weeks' time if I'm standing here in the tunnel having been meeting in a quarter final, you know. So I think they have to live in the real world and be pragmatic about it as well. I think one thing I would say is that I hope we can learn a bit from Kilkenny over the years in terms of, and I mean this with the greatest respect to Kilkenny, they're the ordinariness of their approach, both in victory and defeat, you know, the humility they show and their ability to just go for it straight away, you know, and Brian referenced that in the dressing room. In terms of just going for the next tick, to be hungry for it, you know. And I think, I'm not saying what previous Waterford teams were extravagant in their celebrations or otherwise, but certainly I think there's a grounded nature about our lads that will see them, I think, retain some element of you know, moderate approach, if you like, you know.
And that's what struck me when I walked past your dressing room. There's no hooping and hollering. At the end of the game, it looked like the Waterford players had matured in a decision-making sense. When they needed to, they stopped Kilkenny getting runs on goal.
Yeah, and I think very pleasing for us was even the period just before extra time, in that our own body language, I think, as management had dropped there, it was you know, I wouldn't like to see a picture of us coming in the tunnel, I think. So I think we referenced 3 years ago, I think Michael Ryan's last game in charge of Waterford against Kilkenny, where apparently the players come in and just were saying, like, amongst themselves, we have the legs on them. So we kind of just said, let there be no talk of we have them, etc. So we needed to lift the spirits of everyone, our own spirits. And it was taken control by the players, and the manager just agreed that we trust in the panel, you know. There was a temptation there, reintroduce Shane Bennett, reintroduce Michael.
Yeah.
You know, that was the real conundrum in our heads in terms of, and then we were saying, Jesus, like, we fought tooth and nail to ensure that we have an extended panel. So to see Brian O'Halloran, to see Maurice Shanahan, to see Tommy Ryan, Colin Dunford perform in a manner that they did Patrick Horn in extra time was very, very pleasing, because it was a trust issue there, even for ourselves as a manager. Do we trust them, or do we go back, revert to type, you know? And I think that for me is the biggest springboard, the biggest possible springboard in terms of the trust we as a manager placed in our, if you like, sub 21 to 26.
What did the players say in that kind of period between full time and extra time?
Yeah, I suppose I won't say the usual, but they referenced 3 years ago about having said that, you know, we had an approach coming into the game where it was play by play, minute by minute, and that was kind of referenced, the whole process, this thing. I know it's boring for listeners to hear the whole word process.
No, we're fascinated by what happens in the dressing room.
Yeah, so, but you know, it was to be insightful, I think initially there was a conversation between myself and Owen and Dan whereby we were disappointed with ourselves in terms of our handling of our last substitution, in terms of Pádraig being off, and we just, rather selfishly, we kind of contemplated the fact of Jesus, but then we kind of saw Pádraig's medical situation, that he's only on one leg, so that was kind of justified. So we were able to kind of lift ourselves then. So we felt that we needed to lift ourselves, but not by words, not by kind of, lads, we're in this to fight to the end, not kind of corny words, more just, this is what's happening, you know, we trust completely in the panel, and we're gonna get this done play by play, you know. And so it was as boring as that, I suppose.
And finally, it creates a positive mentality around the county, and I'm sure within the squad, but having a positive outside surely helps the inside.
Yeah, it does. And because, like, you know, the boys took a lot of flack, I suppose, after the Cork game. And, it, you know, to be honest, it was just a non-performance, and it was the fact that Cork were so good as well. So I think sometimes that can seep through, but I think letting that positivity seep through at times as well can be off-putting as well, and can be dangerous. So it's important, I suppose, that you deal with the victories and defeats in kind of a similar manner, and I have no fear of these fears. They will, no panic, you know.
Noel Connors, first of all, what does this win over Kilkenny in the Championship mean to you?
Look, I suppose it's a step in the right direction. You know, I don't think we're going to win any second player after a match like that. I suppose in spite of the fact of being a pretty competitive game and going to extra time, etc. But, you know, we were in a semi-final last year, so we're still a good bit away from that. And, you know, our aspiration isn't to, you know, win matches against Kilkenny. It's about winning the All-Ireland, and we're still a fair bit away from that.
But it is a landmark win, considering how long it had been since Waterford had beaten Kilkenny, and considering how close you've come against Kilkenny over the last couple of years. So I imagine in there, there's a bit of a release of emotion. I know guys are looking at the next game, but there has to be some kind of release of emotion, because it's a big deal.
Yeah, of course. I think that's a kind of an emotion that you get after every game. That's particularly, I suppose, championship. You get the first, I suppose, 20, 30 seconds after a game is very difficult to describe, because it's so much, I suppose, effort and commitment and emotion put into games like that over the last number of years. It's not even the last number of months, the last number of years, so certainly. And it's great, I suppose, the Kilkenny factor. You know, for years we've, I suppose, looked up to Kilkenny. They are, and they'll, I suppose, continue to be an incredible team and set up. And they're fellas that you looked up to as kids, as people that you always admire. And I suppose getting a victory against them is something special. But it's probably not something that we're going to dwell on. You know, we're probably out in 2 weeks' time again, so it's back to the drawing board again on Monday or even tomorrow, depending on when Derek Paul's training.
And as players, what will you look at more? What will you take more from and learn more from? The fact that you played well for large periods and an extra time dominated, or the fact that in the last 5 minutes of normal time they came into the game when really they shouldn't have been? That game should have been killed.
Yeah, I think that it was probably very similar to last year, with the replay, etc. But I think that the one positive is that we walked on and we went through it, and we got back to an extra time where we struggled the last number of years to do that. So I think that's probably the biggest positive for us, that we regrouped and, you know, we gathered ourselves and we went out again with the same mentality, and not kind of, I suppose, panic and get, I suppose, caught up emotionally in the whole setup and game. You're here today, and you can, I suppose, explain it better, the atmosphere and, I suppose, the feeling around. It was like, I suppose, something that you'd see on Turkish television, where you see Galatasaray or something playing.
I saw Sunes plant a flag in the middle of the ground there, actually.
So you could feel, you know, the stadium roaring every so often. But, yeah, look, it's been a great result for us. But it's back to the drawing board again, you know, and I suppose that's the really, really good thing about the Hurling Championship, that it's incredibly competitive, and there's a lot of teams in a very similar position. So it's back to the drawing board, as I said.
I noticed during the last 5-10 minutes in normal time, you committed a lot of numbers to the rucks and to what we might call the breakdown, and Kilkenny kind of won those rucks and breakdowns in extra time. Guys seemed to stand off a bit, you put numbers in and won the ball and got it out to players who were in a bit of space. Was that on purpose, or was that just the way it happened?
It was probably I think it was probably the lads that came into the game. Yeah. I think they were a lot fresher than what the lads that went off, and I think they had a huge bearing on the extra time. They obviously had fresh legs and they could run at the Kilkenny defence. And as a defender, that's something that you always dread, you know. So they had fresh legs, they could get through the rucks, get down, get over the ball and bust out, where I suppose fatigue had taken a fair toll at that stage on a lot of lads. So I think it was the lads that came in really kind of pushed on, and you know, they really inspired us the last kind of, I suppose, 3 or 4 minutes of normal time and then into extra time.
And I guess there was a bit of ball following there, just everyone going after the ball when that's not always the best thing to do.
No, and I think that's just kind of the nature of, I think it's just the madness of Championship Hurling. I suppose if you talk to any intercounty player, they'll tell you that the first kind of 10, 15 minutes in an intercounty game, you struggle to breathe, never mind try and think. So, and that's the same with the last 5 minutes, and particularly in extra time, etc. So it's very difficult to describe, but it's just chaotic is probably the best way to put it down to.
There you are, Brian Cody, Derek McGrath and Noel Connor speaking to Oisin at full time. Waterford 4:23, Kilkenny 2:22. And it was an absolute classic. We'll move then from Semple Stadium Saturday to Semple Stadium Sunday, where Cork were 125-120 winners over Clare. Oisin Langan was there as well. We'll start with the losing reaction. So here we have Clare joint manager Donal Maloney and Clare midfielder Colm Malone giving their thoughts to Oisin at full time.
Is it fair to say that, I don't know about the better team, but the team who played better on the day won?
Yes, I would probably say, in terms of, you look, if you convert your chances, you're the better team, and they converted their chances, and we didn't, and unfortunately we had 2 goal chances, we hit the woodwork, and okay, we got one, but they scored some really excellent points, especially when we got close to them, so fair play to them.
Physically, were they just that bit more dominant? Was it hard for you guys to win ball in the inside line, and is that maybe why you to shoot so often from far out the field?
That wasn't the plan. Like, you know, there, those boys inside are well able to win ball irrespective of size and physicality. That wasn't the reason at all, right? We probably elected to take shots from further out the field. A lot of the time, I'd expect those to be nailed and go over, like, but maybe it was the wind today or whatever, I don't know. But we didn't convert a lot of them, especially in a period midway through the second half there. We 3 or 4 in a row.
You can take learnings from this, though. I mean, you're down, but you're not out.
Oh, we're not out at all. No, definitely not out. We're hugely disappointed because we wanted this victory today. So, and those boys will be hurting hugely. So as will all the management team. We're not into moral victories or anything like that. People telling us we played well and all this sort of stuff. Fair play. I know. I appreciate their gestures and their comments, but that's meaningless to this team.
Is it difficult to pick up individuals if they haven't done what they've wanted to do today? For example, Podge going off at half time, Oisin O'Brien went off before half time. It's tough on those lads.
They're the guys I expect to have to get out of their way in the next 2 weeks. They will be absolutely driven, okay, those boys, because they will be hurting over being taken off, right? And it's not about being taken off, right? About, you know, this is a 20-man game, and in our case it's a 35-man game. Every man puts in his shift and puts in his effort, and you know, a lot of guys came on today, like Jason McCarthy came on, played well. Kian Dillon, Cathal Malone, like his first start, he was just superb. You know, so we've a lot of great players, and you know, this is part of a team. So you put your own personal disappointment to one side if you are taken off, and you do whatever you can do when you come back into training the next day.
Yeah, to be honest, probably hit the post and the crossbar. Like, I'm just disappointed now, like, just not get it, because we just felt like we're just probably chasing the game there at certain stages. Like, so just, there's always going to be ifs and buts, like, so you just have to keep going all the time, like, and just Cork seemed to just finish their chances there, like, and we probably just had let fall for missing them.
Cathal, one of the positives out of today is that, you know, that when you take teams on and go one-on-one and try and offload and move the ball quickly, you can still do that really, really well, which he did for periods of this game. Maybe just not enough, but you can replicate that and do damage in a quarter final.
Yeah, there was probably bits of the game there that we were running at them, probably creating goal chances as well, like, just didn't finish them, and like Sods and Shan, they were winning great ball, like, and they were taking on their men, like, but probably we just hit a few wides and the wind was taking it in and probably going wide instead of playing it back in, probably into the forward line.
I suppose because Clare won the All-Ireland a couple of years ago, we kind of think he is an experienced team. Maybe you're not as experienced as we thought. You will have learned an awful lot from today, and it just goes to show when you're in the second year of a management cycle, things can improve, as Cork are, and your management are in the first year, so it's still a kind of a work in progress.
Yeah, to be honest, we just focus on every game that's in front of us. We don't look anywhere ahead of us at all. Like, all the focus was just on the Limerick game, and it was just on the Cork game. So now we just have to refocus and go back for the quarterfinals, and we'll just take it from there, really, to be honest.
There you go, Donal Maloney and Cathal Malone speaking to Oisin at full time. Cork's forwards, well, all their players, but Cork's forwards were rather brilliant on Sunday as well. Oisin caught up with them, so enjoy. Here's Pat Horgan and Alan Cadogan.
Pat Horgan, how does it feel to be a Munster champion yet again?
Yeah, it's a great feeling. Obviously, I suppose we went really, really tough route. We beat three really good sides, but we know we're a good side as well when we turn up, and like we just said we'd all knuckle down and just see how far we could get. And obviously we're after winning a cup now, so we'll try and push on to another level now, maybe, and just try and squeeze as much as we can over the year. We'll just try and get better for the next day again.
Munster titles are sweet regardless of how they're won, but is this one particularly sweet given the dark times you've gone through as a group, and maybe some of the older players have gone through as a group since the last one in 2014?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it dark. Like, it's we won bad year, was it last year maybe, but we didn't show our true, you know, what we're capable of last year, and we know we're better than that. And thankfully it came together this, like, the last couple of months. Like, this is our team, and we know we're a good side. We just couldn't get it over ourselves for a year or so, and you know, we're back playing well now, so we'll try and get as much as we can out of it.
Is the difference that maybe this year you're playing as Cork. You're Cork and you're playing as Cork. And when you have good players going 15 on 15, I'm sure there's tactics, but like basically you're playing a traditional style, you're playing it well.
Yeah, it's basically, and there's no science to it. It's just, you know, try as hard as you can. We know we've all good hurlers in the dressing room, and we just try, like, just if once you're trying hard for the fella next you and the fellas around you, you can't give any more than that, and that's what everyone done, and look where it's after getting us. So we're delighted with that, you know.
I guess guys have to challenge each other. They have to challenge themselves earlier in the year. A lot made of you not starting a couple of league games. Did you have to challenge yourself at that stage?
No, I just do it like I always do. I didn't think anything of it. Like, what could I do? It was a couple of league games like that. There was nothing came of it. I think whatever happens in the league doesn't impact on Championship Hurling at all. Like, it's a different game. So
did it make you more determined? Did it give you a bit more drive? Did it give you
I'm always driven myself for any game. Like, any game I'm playing, I want to be my best at and try my hardest, and I think that's what everyone does for this team.
And I guess every player evolves. How have you evolved? Are you more about hooking and blocking and tackling and work right now? Or
like, that's the lads always tell us, that's number one, but we know we have to play hurling as well. But everyone just try as hard as you can for the fella next gen. That's all you can give.
You gotta defend from the front, don't you?
Yeah, that's basically what's happening with every team now, though. And we're doing it as well. So if we're not doing it, we're falling behind, you know. So we're doing that.
I remember Brian Corcoran once famously said, "I didn't come back for a Munster title. I came back for an All Ireland title." Munster titles are fantastic. It's a great achievement, but I'm sure you have your sights set on the top prize.
No, I tell you what, we've our sights set on training Tuesday week. Winning Munster is fantastic. We beat three great sides, as I say. But like, we're going to play a semi-final in 5 weeks, but that's too far away to be thinking about. We've training, I'd say, next Tuesday week. We've club championship next week, so that's all we're going to focus on, and we'll try and get the best out of ourselves for that, and we'll see after that then.
Now, whether it's you or the brother, it's always good to speak to a Cadogan. This time it's Alan. Alan, congratulations on winning a Munster Senior Hurling title.
Yeah.
Your second, isn't it?
Second one. First one in 2014, so waited a couple of years for this. I think you just looked out on the pitch there. The amount of Cork support that was there just shows what it means to us, but also to them, and it's outstanding.
Talk to me about the journey between that last Munster title and this Munster title, because there have been some lows.
Yeah, usually after 2014 we had a disappointing 2015, and last year was very, very disappointing, and we knew ourselves, we didn't do ourselves justice as a team. And this year, thankfully, we turned it around. We were, after working extremely hard over the last couple of months, both management and players, and as I said, we're just taking it one game at a time. Tipperary first, then Waterford, and then today, obviously.
What's the difference between this year and last year?
I think if you just look, we obviously blooded a few new players in. They bring a bit of freshness, but also I think you can't beat work rate. I think if you just look at the amount of fellas that are working extremely hard for each other, we have each other's backs, and that for me is just the only difference this year, really, compared to last year.
And I guess sometimes you can kind of go too far in making guys physical, or you can go too far on the scale and not do enough regards getting guys up to the level of physicality needed. Ye seem to have struck the balance. How has that happened?
Yeah, I suppose, as I said, the young fellas have settled in quite well. Nothing fears them. We've a good blend between young and old and experienced lads, and we just take it one game at a time. We're not getting over complacent or anything, and obviously we'll enjoy it tonight, and we'll get back to the drawing board then for another semi-final.
I said it to Tommy Walsh, who was on the punditry for Off the Ball today. I said, you know what, I love this Corker playing as Cork. Look at the amount of lads they've left up in the forward line. Guys aren't dropping too deep or puckheads, whatever. I am sure as players, especially as a forward, you love that, just playing 15 on 15, having enough guys that you're not isolated, that you can play a Cork style.
Yeah, I think that's what hurling is about, I suppose. And Clare, to be fair to them, they're very similar to us. There's a huge rivalry, a healthy rivalry there over the last couple of years. And I think there was that one dirty stroke in the game today, and it was pure 15 on 15 hurling. And for a forward, obviously, that's what you want to see.
Pat Horgan and Alan Cadogan speaking to Ushing there on Sunday afternoon, full time, after Cork's Munster final win. The curtain raiser at Semple Stadium on Saturday was, of course, Dublin Tipperary. We didn't touch on it in too much detail, or any detail, in fact, with Tommy Dunn. Such were the time constraints, but it finished, I'm sure you know, Tipperary 6-26 to Dublin's 1-19. Ushin was there, of course, and he spoke with both managers. So first up, Tipperary manager Michael Ryan, and then Ger Cunningham, the Dublin manager, in what presumably is his last game in charge of Dublin.
We came here to win. You know, the scoreline, to be honest with you, you know, it might flatter us, and it's certainly not something we're thinking about. We just came to get a performance out of ourselves, but ultimately we came here to go through, no more, no less. You know, whether we struggled over by a pint or as you know, a victory the way what we've seen out here today, it really wouldn't have mattered. That, you know, what really was at stake here was go forward into the last six, and so we've secured that and we're happy with that.
Did the players lead the charge during the week, because the performance against Westmeath, well, a winning performance, maybe wasn't the ideal performance?
Ah, look, yeah, you know, you could write, you know, what's the ideal preparation? The win was the most important part of it. Look, that performance that we produced against Westmeath last Saturday would not have done here today, and it wouldn't have done most other days. However, we, you know, once you're winning, that's a really, really important thing.
And I guess players took that on themselves. They didn't need to be told.
Well, look, you know, these boys have been on the road quite a while. The core of that team are a very mature, ambitious group, as are the young fellas. And, you know, they wanted better performances than they certainly have been given in the last number of weeks. And I like the way it's building, so we'll just keep an eye on all of that.
Sure, not what you'd call the ideal result or performance.
No, not at all. You know, we got exposed today. We got well beaten by a very, very good team who really went for the juggler today, I suppose, when the opportunities arose. But I think maybe when we look back in the match, what we'd be disappointed about is that some of the mistakes we made really were punished, but they were self-inflicted. And, you know, we needed, after we got back into the game, you know, halfway through the second half, we were back level. You know, we just needed to push on a small bit and just to settle it. But, again, I think a couple of mistakes on our behalf. And, again, we created a couple of chances which we didn't take, and we needed to take all those.
What were those mistakes and how did they happen?
Again, I have to look back at it from the point of view, it happened so quickly, you know what I mean? But we seemed to turn over ball, we seemed to turn over like chances we had. We just seemed to be, you know, making silly mistakes, not getting the, you know, get the ball out of danger when the danger is there. But, you know, as I said, they have five or six really good forwards, and, you know, they play that ball around the place, and when they're really confident, and, you know, when their confidence is up, they're a hard team to beat. So just again, we didn't see the performance coming. We thought we prepared well. We'd only had 5 or 6 days to turn it around to prepare for Tipperary. You know, they're probably hurting as well on the rebound from coming back after losing to Cork, and, you know, the further they'll go, the better they'll get probably. But we can only look after ausselves. We were just well beaten today. We have no excuse. I don't know, it's hard to say, you know, when I say my term is up, it's this time I'm just kind of maybe shell-shocked in relation to the game, how that panned out. We weren't expecting that in any shape or form, so I'm still kind of shell-shocked on the game, so we'll reflect on that and see where we go.
Ger, in order to get any kind of result here today, you probably needed to feel that everyone in Dublin Hurling was behind you, yet there was a round of league fixtures down for today that weren't pulled. Is that disappointing? Was that a distraction? Does that play on guys' minds?
No, it was no distraction from our point of view. We were just only focusing on the task at hand. As I said, we had a 6-day turnaround to play the All-Ireland champions, trying to put a plan together. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to try to come down. And again, I suppose so the focus was purely on everything to do with the match today. All the other stuff is sideshows and distractions. You know, we felt coming down here today, we needed to play very well to have a chance. Unfortunately, we didn't play well enough.
It can't have helped, though, because a lot of good club people couldn't have come today because they can't be in two venues at the one time.
Yeah, okay, you know, that's a fair point. But again, it wasn't a distraction from our point of view. That only came to light yesterday. You know, we were fully focused on ourselves and the group inside in the dressing room. You know, the lads are great lads to work with. So, you know, we were just focusing on trying to get to the quarterfinal. That was only our focus, and we're just disappointed we're not there.
And finally for me, look, obviously there's very good hurlers in Dublin, there's great work going on, the minors are got to the Leinster final. Do you think maybe there's just one step up needed at this level, at senior level, that they need to be a bit more physical or something, because they were blown out of it in the second half?
Yeah, well, you're playing the All-Ireland champions, like you're playing the team who've been there both for the last number of years, one of the best teams in the country. I think we know, and the lads will know inside where they need to go, where they need to work on. But you know, that's probably for another day. They need to just be so disappointed that that things didn't go their way today. But big lala.
Tipperary's Michael Ryan and Dublin's Ger Cunningham speaking to Oisin there on Saturday. To finish up then on Sunday, if you're looking for more hurling analysis, we had the brilliant Tommy Welch, who, if you've been listening to him over the last couple of weeks, you've, like us, fallen in love with deeply. He's an amazing man. Tommy Welch was watching the Munster hurling final, and Dahi Regan was in studio with Dave. Myself and Nathan were up in Portstewart at the golf. So it was Dave in the hot seat with Tommy Welch at the game, and Dahi Regan in studio, and they were reflecting on the Munster hurling final, so you can enjoy that.
The full-time whistle has gone. Cork are the Munster champions, Tommy Welch.
Well, Dave, yeah, and the Cork supporters are after flooding the field. The Cork Miners, who won earlier on, I'd say were the first out in the field, and I suppose, like, they deserved it because they played hurling like the way you win your own ball, you play it into the corners, fast, crisp hurling, you take your chances when they came, and, like, as we said, hurling's a funny game. You get a goal, suddenly you're back into the game. Like, the game was over there with a few minutes to go, suddenly we get the goal and it's a 3-point game. But after Clare got the goal, Tony Kelly got the next point, an inspirational point. But what did Cork hurlers do? We questioned at the start of the year their consistency, right? So suddenly all the doubts creep back into your mind. What did the lads do? They stayed hurling. They got a point or two, suddenly there were three or four ahead again. But there's great scenes here in Turles. The Cork supporters, they were here from early this morning and they're absolutely over the moon.
Dahi, it's it puts pay to some of the talk about the Munster Championship and maybe not as relevant as it once was. There can't have been more Munster titles harder won than what Cork have delivered here. They've come from nowhere in so many respects, written off, the game on its knees in the county, and here they've beaten Tip, Waterford and Clare to win the championship. I mean, that is a spectacular achievement under their new manager.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, that's seriously impressive stuff. I mean, to be Tip the first day, a lot of people felt Waterford would do them the second day, and again, pretty much at their ease, pulling up there. And again today, I mean, as Tommy rightly said, it wasn't it Clare didn't come prepared for the battle. I mean, they were willing to go into the trenches and leave it all out there, but Cork were far more clinic and put them to the sword, and from a long way out they had that game put to bed as well. They're going through the front door. You cannot describe what this will do for their levels of confidence. Like, I mean, you're just picturing next Tuesday night when both these groups of players regroup. You just cannot underestimate into that dressing room. All the players will want to do now is be together. The Cork players will just want to be together. Can't wait till they get back. These are their brothers now, brothers in arms. And you can't wait to get back down Tuesday night, because you know what? They'll think privately and collectively, although they won't be saying it out loud, you know, we're good enough. And they know that they're good enough, and they are good enough to go on. And nobody gave them a hope at the start of the year. With the Clare players, you probably just want to get away from the group dynamic and go away and meet your friends and your family. And already you see Cork have that advantage going in. They don't have to regroup. They just want to get back together, settle back down again, and training will be brilliant in Cork because players will want to get on it. In Clare, it could be fractious. These things can happen. It can be really fractious. You know, there'll be strong words spoken and a lot will come out of the dynamics of these type of things. But fair play to Cork, really. What this year has shown really is that, you know, hurling teams with good players can have opportunities and always beat systems. You can get bet on an odd day, but that's what it's shown. And the likely All-Ireland winners you can pick, and I think most people will say the likely All-Ireland winners are Galway, Tip and Cork right this moment. And the most unlikely contenders, based on what we've seen, are Clare, Wexford and Waterford. And it's just interesting that both those three teams, Waterford play it better than the other two, to be fair about it. And Davey's done a lot of good work to get Wexford to where they've got to already. Who'd have thought at the start of the year they'd still be in the mix? So they deserve a lot of credit. But there's a message here. There's a message here to guys. There really is.
Tommy, in his first season, Kieran Kingston, he watched his Cork side beaten very easily in the Munster Championship by Tipperary, then beaten by Wexford in Semple Stadium in the qualifiers. They were blessed to avoid relegation from Division 1A of the Hurling League. Only Dublin managed to keep them up. It's quite something that he's managed to get it turned around to such a significant degree, and it's just his second season, and now maybe just behind Galway, one of the real favourites for the All-Ireland.
Yes, Dave, and I think, I suppose, one of the most important results probably in Kieran Kingston's career was that match against Tipperary last year when they played the sweeper, because at least then they had no questions. They weren't asking themselves, what have we tried the sweeper, what have we did it a bit different. They knew it didn't work, and they got absolutely, I suppose, overhauled that day, so that he had no other choice. Plus he's great friends with Jimmy Barry Murphy. I think he was a selector with him there for a few years. When Jimmy came in 1999, I know I said it before, but Jimmy Barry Murphy said, if we go down, we're going to go down with hurlers. What did they do? They went on and won the All-Ireland. So Kieran Kingston, I have a feeling, went with that motto. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with hurlers, playing it the Cork way. And look at the Cork team today. Like, we all spoke about Conor Lehan, how dependent maybe they might be, or they might feel they might be on Conor Lehan after his previous performances. He was quite enough today, but then won a few vital balls, got a great point. And it's when you're quite players like that are still doing vital things, that's when you have a real team and a real chance of victory. Look at Alan Cadogan. Alan Cadogan, I remember the last day against Waterford, he was quiet, but he did a few vital things then in the last 10 minutes. Look at him today then, he might have been saying to himself, ah, it's not my day. But no, he stayed at it and at it, did a few vital things, Cork won. Today, he's the star of the show, Alan Cadogan. Suddenly, Conor Lehan is that bit quieter, but he stays at it, he stays at it, wins one or two frees, scores a point, and does some other nice things. Shane Kingston and Luke Mead, the same. Quite enough by their own standards, but then did vital things at vital times. They've a pint apiece each. And when you only win a Munster final, be 4 or 5 pints, every one of them pints count. Harney did the same. Harney was brilliant again, though, I felt. Hit a few wides, but was shown for the ball. A nightmare for anyone to mark.
Yeah, of course, what it does mean is that we're going to need a draw for the All-Ireland quarterfinals. It'll be Wexford and Clare in one pot against Tip or Waterford in the other, and either or can place either of the other two teams, so that will be very interesting. Dahi, the directness of the way the Cork played there was no surprise by what they delivered today. It was just that the systematic side of Clare malfunctioned, and the free-flowing directness of Cork probably did for Cork what it has been doing for so long when it goes well.
That sums it up, and sums it up well. And I think great credit is due to Kieran Kingston, because he was desperately frustrated last year, and I know from doing quite a bit of business down with Cork people, there was an apathy over the last number of years. People who would have traditionally gone to games had lost faith. They were unhappy at the way Cork were trying to hurl. It takes a really good man and a really good manager to look at something and have the courage of his convictions to say, I'm not happy with what I'm doing here. I'm actually going to change it up. And I have great admiration to him and his backroom team for doing that. I have no doubt Dermot O'Sullivan would have gone back to basics in relation to the defending, and you can see the steel that's there now. You can imagine what he brings to it in the group dynamic. When he's speaking to them, he'll be talking about this ruthless attitude and ruthless preparation and demanding it down training, because you play as you train. And you see, by playing this direct style, it means there's going to be a lot of combat, player on player, because it's been struck long between two players, and you've got to mark tight, and that's going to bring a ruthlessness to you when you play on the big day. With Clare, it's kind of in training, it's always looking to get off your man and play space and so on and so forth, so that ruthlessness isn't going to be there down in training, not as much. He deserves great credit for changing it up and going back to a Cork way of hurling, to say he's looked at what he's got in front of him and said, I've got brilliant players, really good stick players, what's the best way to get it out of them? Wasn't playing a system, it was get the ball into space, go and express yourself, and I think they deserve great credit for that. How Clare react will be very, very interesting. There will be soul searching. There should be soul searching. There's a message there that the rest of the hurling world can see what works and what doesn't. It depends on what management team are willing to look at and say, let's have a little bit more belief, let's go a little bit more direct. And the dynamics over the next couple of weeks are going to be very, very interesting, because there's so much at stake now.
Tommy, I'm not sure what the final tally was, but certainly with 10 minutes left in the game, Clare had hit 13 wides. Will they, in the cold light of day, look back on this and, despite what yourself and Dahi have been saying over the course of the afternoon, think, well, do you know what? Our system did work today. We just lacked accuracy. And had we put over half of those long distance opportunities, we could have been right in it at the end.
Yes, Dave, you're right. And listen, when you're inside in a camp like the Clare camp or the Cork camp, you don't listen to the media, first of all. Like, they probably won't even hear these interviews. So, you know, they won't be worried about what anyone is saying, because they will have studied, they will have done their homework, and they will do what they feel is best for their own team. So you can be sure that them lads will stay doing what they're doing. And as you said, they'll say, well, listen, if we had to be a bit more accurate, we could have bet Cork. We had them down to 3 points with a few minutes to go. The likes of Tony Kelly and Podge and these boys, he won't miss these chances the next day. But like, you know, like, you just have to go look at these guys. Like say if they were getting to All-Ireland Finals, this Clare team, like, they won, what, four under 21 since 2008. I think they won their first under 21 in 2009. They've won National Leagues. They've won the All-Ireland, right? But they haven't been in Croke Park, I think, since their All-Ireland victory. And I don't know whether they're there before it. So something has to be wrong. So even if they looked at that little statistic alone, they might say to themselves, listen, we have the hurlers, they have done it, both at colleges level, both at underage level and at senior level, let's let them off. And I think they won't. I think they'll stay doing what they're doing, and they'll be just hoping, I suppose, that they have the players. Because listen, when you have the players that, like, they have, you'll always have a chance, no matter what system you play, even playing the way they're playing. And, you know, one or two more balls into the likes of McGrath, you could have an extra goal or two. Like, they had a few goal chances. Mark Coleman, who had an unbelievable game wing back, especially in the second half. There was one time there, about 30 yards out, the ball flicked through. This is when Clare Forrest started to run at the defence, and Mark Coleman got back. The ordinary person mightn't see it as a magical flick, because it was so far out, but you'd know if you were there. If he hadn't got that flick, Clare were straight through and goal, and suddenly it's a different game altogether. So I think Clare will stay going the way they're going, even if they got a few extra balls into them boys inside, like, because they have the hurlers to cause damage. But one thing I'd say, Dave, that I don't know, will it show on television later on, but it was one of the best pieces I've seen in the hurling championship so far, was Cahalan. He won a ball at the full back line. Now, he has had scrutiny on him over the years, saying, you know, hurling or football, would he stick to the hurling or would he stick to the football? His father is a great battler, his father is a great footballer, would he be better off sticking with the football? But no, he loves the hurling, he's stuck with it, and he's been immense, because he has great determination, he's a great will to win. He got that ball and one or two Clare lads took after him, but he stayed going up as far as the far 50, hand pass it off, and the ball went over the bar. And this is where there was only 2 or 3 points in it. It's lads like that win you games, and I was delighted for him, because that shows to every young player that if you stay going and stay going, and if you put in the effort and do the right things, it will turn around for you.
It was an inspirational moment, Dahi, wasn't it?
Ah, it is, yeah. As he was going up the field, we were kind of saying, stay going. He'd beaten everybody for pace. He did the right thing, because it was lifting everything, and he had a couple of guys outside him, and then he just did the smart thing. He threw it out then when it was the right thing to do. And although the game was over at that stage, it copper fastened it, and you're in the crowd and you haven't won a Munster final for ages, and you could just see the whole Cork crowd lifting with it, and all of those type of things makes the whole team feel good about themselves. And if you look at the way they celebrated it, I mean, most people, myself included, probably thought Tip were going to win Munster in a canter this year, because you know, and they're not gone away either, to be fair about it, and they score goals, and they did it yesterday, so it's really intriguing. But today is Cork's day. They were clinical, they were good, their touch was very good, and to be fair, Patrick Horgan, I thought, was the best I've seen him today from open play, and he was marking a really good player in McInerney. Luke Mead was in and out of it. Cadigan started just brilliantly. You know, Kingston mined a couple of nice scores. Lahan was a hell of a lot quieter, and Harnedy is a brilliant player. He's a ball winner. I think he scored 319 in 12 championship games coming in today, and again contributed.
And Dahi,
really
on Harnedy, Dahi, as we said before the game, Cork need to defend from in their forwards, and there was one point there when there was only two or three points in the game. The ball, they won it in the Clare defence, so they were sharp playing it out. Harnedy could have gave up. He would have, the Clare boy would have hit a lovely ball into McGrath or Shannon or one of these boys. But no, Harnedy tore out after him, got a half a block or something on him, ball went out for a sideline, slowed up the game, ball went down, and sure, the Cork defence took over again. So it's them kind of plays from the likes of these guys like Harnedy win you these tight games.
Yeah, there's a balance to Cork that wasn't there previously. There's a spine to Cork with Cahalan, as you've said. Ellis has really settled in. He hadn't commanded that position before. Coleman is a real tartar, left half back. He's a real stick man and great speed. And Joyce, we know, like, I've rated Joyce, but not as a centre back before. And to have him in the right place, I mean, Bill Cooper, young Fitzgibbon's a great foil for him. Bill stays around the middle and puts in the hard shift. Great work rate, and he hits hard. And Fitzgibbon, like, is a great link man. there's a nice balance to Cork. I mean, 16-1 at the start of the year, Cork were to win the All-Ireland final. I wouldn't have put money on them. I rated them as hurlers, but I would have questioned their mental toughness. They've answered that in three games, and all of a sudden we have a massive, you know, at the top table now. I mean, it could be anyone from three for me, to be honest with you. And I loved what Tip done yesterday. I really did. Scoring six goals, that's going for the jugular. That's sending a message out to their manager and to the rest of the hurling world. And I mean, what a championship we've had to date, and what a championship we'll still have. I wouldn't rule out Waterford and Clare on the basis that I still think they have really, really good players. How they come back and respond to this is going to be really intriguing.
Tommy, when you look at where Cork are now, how hardened and grazed they are, or grizzled they are, heading into the All-Ireland semi-final, having beaten Tip, Waterford and Clare, in comparison to Galway maybe, who ultimately really eased through Leinster with the wins over Dublin, Offaly and Wexford. Like, Cork, they're in a very good place at the moment as they take a little bit of time away and prepare for this semi-final.
To do, Dave, and listen, we question them before every game. Can they stay going? Can they stay going? And they stay going. It was like Leicester last year. Now listen, I'm not comparing Cork to Leicester or anything like that, but when Leicester won the Premier League last year, they were winning from the very beginning, and at Christmas time, can they stay going? And they did. They stayed going. They had the momentum. And Cork hurling is on an upward curve. Their minors won here, playing unbelievable hurling, same kind of a thing, ball in to the corners, winning their own ball and scoring at will. And Cork, when you have that kind of a momentum feeding into the team, like, it can lead you to do wonderful things. And like, Dahi, you even know from where we're Offaly in 98, next minute Michael Bond comes in, there's a freshness and a newness, suddenly you win a match and off the year goes again. So Cork, yes, they'll be going into it, I suppose, after they'll have great an unbelievable belief in themselves after winning the Munster Championship the way they've done it. But listen, it's back to the 90s. Like, anyone can win it. Like, after last Sunday, you'd be saying Galway are the favourites. Now you're saying Waterford are the favourites. Last night, looking at Tipperary, you're thinking they're the favourites. So, like, whoever Galway get and whoever Cork get in the semi-final, listen, it's going to be unbelievable.
Give us your tip for the All-Ireland, so, Tommy, before we let you go. There are six remaining.
Six remaining. Well, listen, I suppose the Cork and Galway are there, so they have to play one less match. Sometimes maybe it's just your year and things like happen for you, and Galway seem to be doing the right things. I can see where you're coming from, that they haven't been tested to the very last minute in any of their games. But what I liked about Galway last weekend was their ability, when things weren't actually going brilliantly for them in that first 20 minutes, they just stayed at it and getting in a foot here and a block here. And I remember David Burke won a great free. I think he blocked the goalkeeper Mark Fanning, and suddenly they went a point or two ahead. The same in someone blocked Lee Chin at another stage, and suddenly they just stayed in the game like Harney did. He blocked the Clare back coming out with the ball when the game is in the melting pot. So when you've that kind of an attitude in your team, like, that's what Galway needed. But the thing what is going to affect them, I suppose, when it comes to the semi-final, there's going to be so much pressure on them. So hopefully, for Galway's sake, like, they haven't had an All-Ireland since 1988, they've won so many minors, they've won so many clubs and under 21s, they have the players individually, they have the mentality. It's just, I suppose, the weight of tradition and the weight of history weighs down on them at certain stages. So I just hope for Galway's sake that when they get to that semi-final, that they stay going, that they hurl with, I suppose, I keep saying it, the freedom, off with the shackles, that even no matter what's happening, when that game is in the melting pot, that they stay going and stay going. Don't retreat back into your defence, because they, like Cork today, they have the attackers to take it to you. So listen, I think if Galway can have that kind of an attitude, that when the game comes into the melting pot, whether that's in the semi-final or the final, that they stay going, they stay looking for the ball. I remember when I was in Kieran's, Dennis Philpott, he was a Cork teacher, he taught us in St. Kieran's College, and he used to say, it was very simply, lads, you have to go after the ball like you love it, and you hit it like you hate it. And if them Galway lads, I wouldn't worry about hitting it like you hate it, but if they go after that ball when that game is in the melting pot, like they love it, when the pressure is really on, well, then they'll have a great chance.
Tommy, it's been another dull afternoon in your company. Glad you enjoyed your first ever Munster Senior Hurling Final. We'll chat to you later in the week. Tommy Walsh, the indomitable Tommy Walsh in Cork, or in Semple Stadium, watching Cork win the Munster title for the first time since 2014. Dahi, I wanted to get your thoughts on your All-Ireland winner. One word?
Tip.
Tip. So Tommy going for Galway, Dahi going for Tip.
There you are, the brilliant Welch and Regan speaking to Dave on Sunday. So that's the bonus part of the podcast over, all the reaction from around the grounds. We'll keep doing that for the rest of the championship. If you're enjoying it, let us know at Off the Ball. And tomorrow night on Tuesday show, we'll have an interview with Aidan O'Shea. If you miss it, it will be up for podcast in this section. And we'll see you at the usual time, 7 o'clock weekdays, 1 o'clock both weekend days. Good luck.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to AIR. Catch all the sports you love free on the AIR Sport Pack with AIR Broadband.